Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkins with here with Greg Pickle. Talking some Penn State football. Continuing now, we talked news and notes in the first two segments of the show. You can check those out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We are doing Ask Greg now. This is our weekly segment. These are listener fan questions. Some have come in through the Keystone Sports app, which is how we want to train you people to send us questions. There's a button there for Ask Greg. Greg is the guy, if you've got recruiting specific questions or maybe more specific things you want to know about the current team, there's an Ask Ross button for Ross Tucker, which I think is more you want anybody to analyze what's happening or look at a guy's film or things like that. He's your guy for that. So this is Ask Greg, and we've got some Penn State football and some Penn State recruiting questions. Are you ready, Greg?
Oh, I'm ready, buddy. Let's do it.
All right. Bill from Philadelphia says, seems like the staff has offered a lot more three stars in the previous 2 years since Penn State is expecting a smaller class. Will they hold off the majority of the three-star commitments until the four- and five-star targets decide?
Well, yeah.
It goes to what we were speaking about earlier.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, I mean, I don't see Penn State racing to you know, shake up his recruiting board before the guys that it has at the top of those position boards decide. I mean, what's the point of having them at the top of your board then? So, yeah. I mean, does it – the one thing I will say is this, is that don't mistake the three-star guys as the ones that are always behind the four- and the five-star guys, because if Penn State likes itself a three-star guy, like, hello, Keaton Ellis, for example, or hi, Taquan Roberson, you know, also, for example, they're going to take them because they have a higher viewpoint on these guys, and they've proven over the years that that's okay. Five-star bust, three-star shine. I mean, it happens. So, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say – I don't necessarily break it down as three-, four-, and five-star guys. Yes, typically speaking, the higher – the star ranking, usually the higher up the board these guys are.
And the longer you have to wait for them.
Exactly. But Penn State isn't going to turn down a three-star guy if it really likes him just because of the fact he's a three-star.
Yeah. And I would also say this. This class, more than any, stands out, and this cycle stands out as sending out a lot of offers that, you know, just from my viewpoint, don't look like they're committable offers necessarily. And it really just begs the question, what does an offer mean? Sometimes it means different things. Sometimes sending out an offer is just saying, hey, kid, we're interested in you.
Yeah.
It's not to say, hey, kid who's never visited us, who's never spoken with us firsthand, whatever, we want you to commit right now. It's just saying, hey, you know, let's open the pathways to a relationship. That's how I interpret a lot of the offers that went out in the 19 class so far, especially the ones to Florida and out of the area.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the offers like in Florida and in Texas, I mean, make no mistake, Penn State's recruiting these guys hard. The one thing that's hard to figure out is Florida. So how many of those offers was Jawan Sider coming in and saying, hey, these are my top five favorite Florida prospects. We need to offer them now that I'm here immediately. And Penn State went ahead and did. And how many of them are just guys that by virtue of Jawan Sider being at Penn State now, Penn State just goes out and blanket offers an area of top prospects. They're not hard to find in Florida. You trip, you know, from one school to the next and find 5 to 10 FBS prospects. So it's hard to say. But for the most part, I think Penn State would obviously take a lot of the kids that it has offered out of the region. That said, some of these guys you would think just get an offer, A, because they're a highly regarded prospect, or B, because Penn State might be trying to entice a visit through the offer.
So there you go. So, I, you know, the three stars versus the four stars. My own personal expectations, right or wrong, is that small class, you're going to see a big majority of four and five stars here. It's hard to circle which ones are definitive at this point, but there's so many where Penn State has a good pathway there. There's going to be some conversions because that's what James Franklin does. Brad from Washington, D.C., this follows sort of the same point here. Do you expect Jawan Sider to reel in a big recruit or two from Florida in year one? Who do you think is a possible PSU commit from Florida? It goes to exactly what you just said.
Well, I mean, the one guy, if I had to pick one, I don't even need to the Google bot for this one. I mean, it'd be Noah Kane. It would be the four-star IMG Academy running back. I mean, I think that Penn State probably sits in the best position with him at this point in time. I'm fairly certain he's planning on coming up for the blue-white game, or at least has official visit plans at some point between the start of that window, which began back on April 1st and the end of June. So he's the guy I would pick right now. I think Penn State is furthest along with him because it had a relationship with him prior to Jawan Sider arriving, and then Jawan Sider obviously kicked things into gear. One other name to watch, offensive lineman Will Putnam. I just don't know where things stand. He plays at the same high school as class of 2018 signee. Wow, I just lost his name. Plant Florida. Hold on, I'll get that. But
Judge Culpepper.
Yes, thank you.
That's what I'm
plays
here
at
for.
He plays at the same high school as him, so that certainly won't hurt Penn State's chances. But it doesn't seem like there's as much movement on that front as there was at one point in time. But just to answer the question about Jawan Sider as a whole, I asked Jaleel Berger, the class of 2020 New Jersey running back from Bergen Catholic, about his recent visit to Penn State and also about Jawan Sider. And he said, yeah, you know, one thing is when I visited Florida a couple weeks ago, all the freshman running backs talked about how much they loved Coach Sider and how great of a coach and recruiter he is. I think if there was any doubts, and there shouldn't have been, but if there were any doubts about this guy and the pick James Franklin made to replace Charles Huff, there should certainly be none now.
So I thought it was funny that you ran into a problem not even Google could solve.
That's right.
And I'll tell you, sometimes...
But you solved it, so that's all that matters.
You're sitting here, and sometimes you can't help it. You just start speaking without the end goal in mind.
I knew where I wanted to get. I just the name slipped my mind.
But you're like an encyclopedia, and I think sometimes you even have to search through the encyclopedia to find it.
Control right. F, yes.
Don't you wish you could just do that in life, by the way? Just I always think about it. Like I'm looking at a weird print copy of something. And yes. I'm like, I wish I could just control F that. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking keyboard techniques and shortcuts. We're also talking Penn State football. This is Ask Greg. We're taking your Penn State football and recruiting questions. Ask Greg is a button on the Keystone Sports app. If you don't have the app yet, just go ahead. Keep listening to this, but go download it while you're listening. You'll be glad you did. Joseph from Scranton. With so many new coaches and question marks at field goal kicker, tight end, defensive line, safety, and linebacker, do you think the preseason rankings of Penn State are fair or exaggerated? Good question. Fair question.
So I want to answer a quick question I got related to last week's segment about the coaching thing. And remember,
you're on the back burner, Joseph.
Yeah, well, we'll get back around to it. But we discussed the impact that new coaches have.
Yeah.
And someone took offense to that conversation and thought that my implication was that because David Corley could go between running backs and receivers, that, you know, it implies that position coach importance is not key and that Larry Johnson could coach quarterbacks the same way he could coach defensive linemen. And that's not what the implication was, but it's, I mean, you don't hire David Corley unless you know he can move positions because you didn't know if your staff was done moving yet. So
it's no different than recruiting a safety who can play linebacker.
Yeah, and the other point, the broader point I was trying to make, and we'll see if this answers the question. If not, I'm sure another email will come, but I just think that the drills
that's
these guys
G
do.
Pickle at PennLive.com,
that's right,
by
yes.
the way. GPickle@PennLive.com.
Yeah, so thank you for that. The drills these guys do, it's not rocket science. Charles Huff liked to use tennis balls to throw at his guys while they caught passes to distract them. You know, Phil Galliano prefers to use boxing gloves to make his guys, you know, catch the ball with boxing gloves to stress ball security. I mean, they might tweak little things, but no one's rewriting the playbook here. It's not like Gabe Kapler's in State College trying to do all this new, crazy, innovative stuff. It's just
been dying to make a Gabe Kapler
reference,
haven't
you? I wasn't, and then we got talking about it this morning, and I was like, oh, that's going to fit somewhere. But yeah, it's not like it's crazy and innovative. I mean, Penn State is innovative in a lot of ways, but how many ways can you teach a guy to run routes and catch passes? I mean, it's straightforward. It is what it is. So that's why you can see guys coach multiple positions. That's why Ricky Ronnie could be an offensive coordinator, a tight ends coach, a quarterback coach, a receivers coach over the course of his career and still have a job because he can figure out how to teach guys the best way to do things. So that ran aside, getting back to the actual question, Do I think
can I just yeah. summarize your argument? Greg is basically saying, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, gpickle@pennlive.com is saying he could watch a YouTube video and coach Penn State's position.
I certainly couldn't, but I'm telling you that these guys that have basically master's degrees in football can figure it out. So, no, I certainly could not do that. But I'm telling you, these guys that have been coaching for years at the college level, I'm sorry, but it's not rocket science. It just isn't. So these guys are able to move around and be good to go if they need to do the best thing for the staff. So as for the original question, it was like 4 minutes that
do I need to read the original question again?
No. Preseason rankings, fair or unfair. Penn State's often on the wrong side of this because I don't know if in the last couple of years they got enough credit for what was coming back, Dustin. But now that the sort of flyover broad stroke things that go on at the national level to preview teams. Now it works in Penn State's favor because everyone keeps talking about how Penn State's losing Saquon Barkley, and they sort of gloss over the fact that Marcus Allen, Troy Apke, Jason Kabinda, Tyler Davis, Deshaun Hamilton, Mike Gesicki, Saeed Blacknall, Brendan Mann, and obviously the defensive tackle situation has lost some guys as well. People just gloss over that when they look at it from a national standpoint. So I think it actually is helping Penn State. I think the rankings are fair. You still bring back Trace McSorley.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a big deal. I think that when it comes down to it, that carries a lot of weight. So you look at what Penn State does bring back, and I would say that most programs in the country are in a similar position. And I think national reputation kind of precedes programs. The head coach's reputation precedes programs. And James Franklin has scratched and clawed for the right to get this kind of favorability from national media types. Having a two-year starter and a Heisman contender at quarterback is a good thing. I think that national people will generally look at what they have back on the offensive line, too, as an indicator of success. You got a lot more margin for finding your skill position guys if you can protect everybody and open up holes.
Yeah.
So I think obviously we're replacing Saquon. I think there's some concerns, I guess, at the defensive tackle spots. Not to knock Parker Cothran and Curtis Cothran and Tyrell Chavis, but those are pretty replaceable guys if we're being honest. The experience matters, and losing that experience matters, but losing the size and the strength and the athleticism and all that stuff, they will have some options there. Losing Marcus Allen is a big deal. You have a chance to maybe get some ball skills back there. So I get it. I don't think that the rankings are exaggerated at all. I think everybody's got issues.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that I personally always forget, because there's not really enough time in the day until like July when things really slow down to take a really good, long, hard look at everybody on Penn State's roster and also the top 25 nationally. But Dustin, I mean, there's not a school in the country that doesn't have these problems or some variation of them. And by the way, when you talk about all the quarterbacks at the top of the draft, yeah, I know some of them don't play for high-profile schools, but you got a lot of quarterbacks that are going out in this year's class, and you got a lot of quarterback races because of it across college football, and you got to wait until those are decided to really make a call on where things stand across the board.
Well, listen, Ohio State loses a dozen draft picks every year, and they're ranked in
and
the
they
top
somehow
three
figure
year.
It out, right?
So that's where Penn State is. You should be grateful, Joseph. Joseph got a lot more than he bargained for.
He sure did.
Took us a little off track. We got one more segment here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Penn State Hoops talking the NIT with Jeff Brown. Stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G. The name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-LONG.